This is 7AD and it's time for our weekly Power Savers chat with Adrian from DMS Energy. Hello, mate.
How you going, Darren?
I'm going fine. So we're talking wind turbines today.
Wind turbines and mainly little wind turbines we're talking about today and grid connection. So this is a bit of a session for the more technically minded listeners out there as it relates to a technical question we received. Now, for those that don't know, DMS Energy are Victron distributors. And for those that haven't heard of Victron, let me fill in the gaps. Victron have the largest range of off-grid components based in the Netherlands, very switched on company. You know, they have all the gear from for solar from your caravan to even powering up a factory in the middle of nowhere. Victron have got you covered. So if you'd like to find out a bit more about Victron products, feel free to jump onto our website and have a look and use our online store.
Righto.
So as part of being the largest Victron distributor on the Northwest Coast, Victron send us the technical questions from all around Tasmania. You know, these come from people who have, you know, just got questions about how do I best integrate their products for their off-grid system or on-grid systems. Yeah. And look, these questions range from, you know, what size solar charge controller should I use with these solar panels, or what best setup would best suit my caravan, or what does this red light or error code mean? So essentially, DMS Energy is now the first line of tech support for Tasmania for Victron products.
Righto.
We had a good question last week, Darren. It was from Jim. He had procured a 1.2 kilowatt, 48 volt, three-phase wind turbine, and he wanted to know which Victron controller would best suit his application as he wanted to connect it to the grid.
Right.
This isn't your typical question, so I thought it was worth a mention.
Okay.
The answer, in this case, unfortunately, there is no Victron charge controller for integrating a wind turbine into the grid. In fact, what he was after was a charge controller with low diversion. The single biggest difference between a solar panel and a wind turbine is you can refuse to take energy from a solar panel and it isn't going to get upset.
Yeah.
For example, if we were charging a battery with a solar panel and we needed a charge controller or a regulator, we need a charge controller and regulator to sit between the solar panel and the battery. So what happens in this instance as the battery becomes fully charged? The battery at that point needs less and less energy as it gets to what we call float voltage, which is a fancy term for full. In this case, the charge controller just takes less energy from the solar panel. It just doesn't take it. For example, if we had a 300 watt solar panel on a battery and that battery has hit float or full, that charge controller will only probably allow around 10 watts into the battery. Thinking of the battery as a bucket, we don't want to overfill it. Also, overfilling things with electricity doesn't generally end well. Usually smoke and fire.
Can you overcharge a battery?
Yes.
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 Thought
and,
so.
And bad things happen.
Yeah.
They boil, split, catch fire.
Right.
Yeah. So in this case, what happens to the other 290 watts that we don't want? Well, that energy is just dissipated as heat or reflected radiation at the panel. Because it hasn't been taken. It has to go somewhere. So, yeah, that's no big deal. Solar panels are only about 20% efficient at the best of times. So 80% of the actual energy that's ever, you know, ever hitting those panels is just being shed as heat or reflected away at any time. So what's a little bit more?
Yeah, right.
Doesn't hurt a thing. Wind turbines, however, are purely capturing kinetic energy. So if I have, sticking with a 300-watt thing, a 300-watt wind turbine going flat out on a windy day, and it's connected to a battery and that's all fine if the battery is empty because that battery can absorb the 300 watts.
Yeah.
But what happens when that battery is full and it hits float and only needs 10 watts? What happens to the other 290 watts? As that energy has to go somewhere. The first law of thermodynamics states energy can neither be created or destroyed, but can only change its form. So we have a turbine spinning flat out, making 300 watts. We have a battery that can only take 10 watts. So we only have a few options available to us. Option one is make the wind turbine slow down. Then it would be reducing the amount of energy it's collecting from the wind. We could mechanically or electrically apply a brake or physically turn the blades out of the wind to slow them down. In some cases, to electrically slow the wind turbine down, the wind turbine controller will send the excess energy back into the generator windings and it slows the turbine that way. But that, however, can generate colossal amounts of heat and melt the windings during a storm event.
Okay.
They get phenomenally hot. At other times, they might have what we call a yawing system, and that physically tips the blades away from the wind flow. And this is generally too crude for fine charging control and is generally only used to protect the turbine blades in high wind events. So right. That was option one, slow the turbine down.
Yeah.
Option two is redirect that power into something else. We call this a dump load diversion. So as the battery comes up to float, it would direct the excess energy into a resistive load, which will basically turn it into heat and dissipate that energy into the air or sometimes water. In this scenario, the wind turbine charge controller is continually jocking the power either into the battery, into the actual site load, or the dump or dummy loads. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So back to Jim's question. He needs a specific controller that suits his wind turbine or a diversion charge controller that can be programmed to suit his turbine. He's also going to need batteries, a multi-mode inverter that was able to be grid connected. He would also need to engage an electrical contractor so as to submit a request to TAS Networks for a permission to attach this equipment to their network, as well as do all the wiring, which at this point I think it put a bit of a damper on his enthusiasm.
Would mine.
Well, I think he had designs on doing it all himself with products he bought on the internet, which is a definite no-no. So let's talk about wind turbines. Big ones are great, phenomenally efficient, capable of generating huge amounts of energy. The little dinky ones, like we talked about today, are just a disappointment on a stick. Hardly generate anything. Most don't last very long. The first decent high wind event comes along, they blows them to bits. In the early days, we fooled around with these little wind turbines for off-grids and the like, but as solar became more efficient and cheaper, it left small wind turbines dead in the water. Moving parts, Darren, means maintenance,
yep.
Means friction. Moving parts means an eventual time when those parts either don't move or they're scattered all over your paddock. You wouldn't consider a small wind turbine any smaller than 20 to 30 kilowatt these days, and if your property was windy enough to drive them, you wouldn't want to live there. Big wind farm turbines, they're a completely different league, with many of those starting out at 3,000 kilowatt of output. Phenomenally huge. At that scale, while the rules of thermodynamics remain the same, the sheer output they can generate, or potentially generate, puts them in a completely different category.
Mm.
Yeah. So for domestic and small to medium commercial applications, solar is still king. We have no moving parts. We know we've got a generation source there for a quarter of a century. If you'd like more technical questions answered on the radio, hit us up at Facebook. Just look for DMS Energy. We're not hard to find. Or find our website, which is dmsenergy.net.au. You can put in a web form request.
Yep.
We can do it that way. Or if you want to pop in and see all the gear and pick our brain in person, drop into 56 Sheffield Road in Sprayton or give us a call on 1300 502 599.
Nice work. Thanks to Jim for the question. Great stuff. Catch you next week.
Cheers, Darren.